Welcome to another episode of Mission Compliance, Unleashing Growth Potential for Defense Contractors. Today, we're diving headfirst into something fresh off the government printer. That's right, the latest Department of Defense guidance on CMMC levels. And look, I get it. Every time new guidance drops, it feels like someone just handed you 500 pages of legal spaghetti and says, good luck untangling that. But don't worry. We've got your back. In today's episode, we're decoding what the new guidance actually means, what's changing, and how it's going to impact you, whether you're aiming for level 1, level 2, or the ever elusive level 3. Let's break this down CMMC hero style. Kelly Clarkson! We're joined once again today by Mike Frater, president of On Call Compliance Solutions and a CMMC professional assessor. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Hey, always a pleasure, Roman.
So, Mike, today, as the intro said, we're talking about CMMC levels. You know, we say a lot in our videos, CMMC level 1, CMMC level 2, and it occurred to us that it's very possible there might be people out there listening to this podcast or watching our YouTube videos that don't understand what that means, or if they do understand what it means, they don't understand the differences between them. So that's what we're doing here today. So with that said, let's jump right into it. What are the biggest shifts in the new DoD guidance, and how do they affect companies already on their path to CMMC compliance?
It's a great question. And I think one, a big misnomer is that there's some kind of big shift in who needs to be assessed by third parties versus who can self-certify. And, you know, where level 1 and level 2 and level 3 lie. Number one, there is no major change. The DoD did come out with specific guidance that was guiding what CMMC level would be appropriate, which I think needed to be done. I think they needed to publish an updated set of guidance for contracting officers that did specifically name the CMMC levels, as opposed to, you know, whether they were applying to, you know, DFARS or the FAR in terms of the requirements. So I would call this really almost practically an internal clarifying document for contracting officers primarily. Obviously, it's the law, so it gets put out in public and people make a big deal about it. Like, man, there's been some crazy update to CMMC levels. No, that is not the case. But, you know, I think it's good to recap where those levels are. So there are three levels of CMMC in version 2.0 to make things even more confusing. We'll put some sauce on the spaghetti, if you will.
Ooh.
Level one is what they call foundational, basic cyber hygiene, nothing more complex than that, and is for federal contract information. So it's really just to cover federal contract information. It requires a self-assessment annually now. So it used to be every 3 years. Now it's going to be every year. Against the 15 FAR 52.204-21 safeguards. No third-party assessment is required. Very important. There's no self-assessment, there's no third-party assessment required. Organizations simply self-certify and post in SPRS. I will tell you, that is different from before. There was a big school of thought that, CMMC level one was going to wind up being a big source of focus of certified third-party assessing organizations. Both for training and for revenue, right? They were really hoping that they could get third-party certifications for level one so that the assessors could make some money there. Next up is level two, advanced CUI. So covers control and classified information. We know CUI is a big deal and aligns with NIST SP 800-171 revision two. All 110 practices. Significantly, level two includes two paths, okay? There's this magic word called bifurcated. Don't ask me to spell it. Don't ask me to tell you how many syllables are in it, but it's a lot and it's complicated, but it's called bifurcated. It means there's two different directions you can go. One level, one CMMC level two, two different directions.
Fricate in one direction, or you can fricate in the other direction.
That's
bifurcation.
Right. That's right. It's like a bi-turbo. You can have a twin turbo, which is really just a bi-turbo, but they just call it a bi-turbo because, well, Mercedes is a German company.
That was a really bad joke on my part. I might cut that out.
Keep the bad jokes. You know, the worse the jokes, sometimes the better the podcast.
There you go.
Self-assessment once every 3 years with annual affirmation. allowed rarely for contracts involving non-defense CUI. I must have some outdated information because it says once every 3 years. That's not true. It is once a year. So SPRS scores, which is what this is referring to, are once every 3 years. And now you're going to have to self-test every year under CMMC level 2 in the SPRS system. So, some of these things are just a tad bit off, but once a year, an official has to go in and certify that they are still compliant with all of the CMMC level 2 controls. Now, third-party certification, VA C3PO, is required of handling defense-related CUI, DoD critical infrastructure, nuclear propulsion, info safety sensitive, or UCNI, which is again nuclear-related information, generally speaking, defense categories defined by the NARA Defense Organizational Index Group. So here's kind of my general here's my general summary to figure out if you're going to need to self-certify or if you're going to need to third-party certify. Number one, does your contract openly state you're going to need to third-party certify? That's the first sign, right? You're definitely going to need a third party if it says you do. The second thing is are you handling a specified type of CUI like nuclear, in some cases like ITAR, that have specified and more advanced handling than what we call CUI basic? CUI basic are things like your typical diagrams, things like like schematics and studies and analyses and things like that that may be components of a larger system. Those, I think, generally speaking, if you're a manufacturer, it just depends on how much of the diagram you're seeing and how sensitive what you're making is to one of those nuclear or mission critical type systems. So there is definitely still some variability. I don't like the word gray area, right? There is black and white definitions, but then the question is, does your project fall under one of these? And that's the one that I can't answer. Most contractors dealing with CUI are going to obtain a CMMC level 2 certification, not self-assess. Self-assessment is the exception, not the rule. Now, I'm going to tell you that's not going to apply in these first couple of years. In these first couple of years, most people will be self-certifying. In fact, from now through 2026, roughly October 1, self-certification is going to be the requirement while everybody's trying to go out and get third-party certifications. But there are not enough C3PAOs out there in order to really accommodate the demand. So it's going to take a couple of years for the system to catch up, but we're getting there. Then there's level 3. Level 3 is your expert level. You're going to know if you need to be level 3, probably because you might be handling nuclear or mission critical or unique defense technologies that are not public record, or where one incident could create a wide vulnerability across DoD or DoD systems. It's going to require all of level 1 and level 2, and it's going to require level 3. There are additional 24 requirements of NIST SP-800-172, and certification assessments are handled by DoD only via DIPCAC. You cannot go get a third-party assessment for CMMC level 3. Only DIPCAC will conduct level 3. So those are an overarching kind of view of the levels. What I would tell you is that generally speaking, for our client base, most people are going to be in that level 2, either self-certification once a year, or they're going to be in that DoD driven, but third party certification window. That's where they're going to be. And again, a lot of the guidance on that is going to be, are you handling specified types of CUI? That is an indicator that you are more than likely going to need a third party assessment. Now, as the years tick on and everybody kind of starts really getting with it and the ecosystem for assessors gets wider, yes, I think there'll be more assessors out there. But right now, a lot of self-certification is the target, as it should be. Everybody in the ecosystem should really be gunning for end of year. And in fact, October 1, it is possible for CMMC level 2 to be added to the contract. So October 1 is really the first of the deadlines, and that is not very far away, Mr. Roman. Not very far away at all.
How should defense contractors rethink their approach if the new guidance changes their expected certification level, especially for those who thought they were aiming for level one or two, but might now need a third-party assessment?
It's a great question. Here's how I think it'll go down. I think that everybody that is hoping that they're going to be in level one needs to realize that if they have a defense contract, they're definitely level two. There's no CMMC level one for defense contracts right now. I haven't seen one. I don't expect one. Your minimum, if you have a defense contract, is going to be NIST SP 800-171. Why wouldn't you be CMMC level two? So I think there's a lot of people who are really hoping that they're going to get contracts with CMMC level one. If you ask me, I think CMMC level one is probably going to be rolled out to the greater government supplier, government contractor base. I do not really actually think much CMMC level one is going to go on. Now, it is possible I could be wrong. That's what we do on this podcast. We take educated guesses. But I do think that this guidance clarified for a lot of people who are hoping for CMMC level one. Nope, probably going to be CMMC level two. I think another thing is according to the guidance, self-assessment or self-certification is going to be the exception, not the norm. I will share with you, I don't know how they're going to get that done, given the size of the defense industrial base. I could be wrong, but I think it's going to be years before they can really pull that off. But it doesn't matter if it will be years. You are literally putting your name on the line in a government system, a DoD system, stating that a specific person has verified that you are meeting all of these controls. It is not like before where you check a box and put in a score. It is personal responsibility. And I will tell you, I don't think very many people are going to be excited about taking legal and criminal liability in your company to just sign off on this. They're going to want that to be real. So the bottom line for everybody really is very simple. Beginning October 1, CMMC requirements can be specified in contracts by contracting officers, and they are directed to do so by the DoD, which means that past October 1, if you want to win net new business or renewals of your contracts, you're going to have to probably be at level two. I don't know really very many companies that have a defense contract or that have defense subcontract work that won't be at level two. And if you have not really taking the time to go through this. All I can say is it's not easy, and you're going to need some professional help, and that is what OnCall is here to do. So it would be a very, very good idea to jump on this, especially if you're listening to this podcast. Honestly, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably really you're the choir I'm preaching to anyway. But man, if you have supplier and you have to flow CUI to them for them to be able to perform the work, then I would advocate very strongly that you get your subs on this. Again, we can help them, but there just is no more time to waste. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at a calendar that says it's, July 25th, and that means that we are only 2 months away, basically, from from October 1st. So, yeah, the guidance is out there. They're specifying to the contracting officers who's going to be self-certifying, who is going to be requiring third-party certification. And well, I'll tell you what, if you are third-party certified, I'll tell you this. Sky is the limit. Going to be a lot of contracts up for grabs because companies cannot win these agreements without that third-party certification. So it is an exciting time. A big, big, big shift in defense spending is about to occur.
What's one area contractors are still getting wrong even after the new guidance came out, and how can they get ahead of it now?
You know what? There is actually, if you go to the DIBCAC's website, there is, I'll try to pull it up really quickly and kind of read a little bit from it. Okay, let's see here. Let's see if I can. Other than satisfied requirements, is an actual PowerPoint presentation that they have on the DIBCAC website, aka Where Did Everybody Fail? So I will tell you, let's see here. Yeah, come on, they don't give control numbers. So they have this amazing, pie charts and stuff like that, where they're showing that looks like 31311 is probably one of the most failed controls. I'll see if I can pull exactly what that is. Yeah, right there. Employ FIPS validated cryptography is the number one failed, followed by 3-5-3, which is the multi-factor authentication. That's like almost 50% of people. I'll look at 3-14-2 as well. 3-14-1, I'm sorry, is another one that is very frequently failed, which is identify, report, and correct system flaws in a timely manner. Those three controls alone make up 50% of control failures. So what I'll tell you is, we're huge fans of, the Microsoft Azure Government Cloud. Very, very difficult to go out and achieve some of this stuff on your own. You want to leverage off of some of these, FedRAMP validated cloud providers. Again, whether it's virtualizing and moving your workload into their systems or, whatever you've got to do, that's the easy button. That's what we advocate for quite a bit. Obviously we're big Microsoft partners. We don't hide that from anybody, but I will tell you it is a difficult, difficult swing to really get a local system in compliance with some of this stuff, including FIPS. Now, you don't have to have FIPS on your local network, but the minute you open up the VPN, the VPN's got to be FIPS validated cryptography, and it's just not really so easy to meet that requirement. So yeah, hopefully that's a pretty good level of insight. I mean, we could probably talk for an entire day about what people are failing out there. It's extensive.
It's always multi-factor authentication. People just don't want to do it.
The implementation is again, it's easy if you're using someone else's compliance system, but it's your whole company has to be compliant, so you got to be careful about that. But yeah, MFA is just one of those things where it's hard to get it right.
114 episodes in, you know the drill. We ask three questions about our given topic, and then we try to lighten things up at the end. And this one's pretty simple, Mike. If each CMMC level had a personality, what would each personality be?
That's a great question. All right, you made me think about that for a minute. Let's see here.
It's what
Well,
I do.
it is. Making Mike think is what you do. Level one, the foundational level would kind of be like, what would it be? It would be like, gosh, it would kind of be like Heath the cat. Do you remember that guy? Heath the cat.
Okay.
Very simple, easy. No big deal, foundational, Heath the Cat. Level two, much more complicated. Oh boy. Level two would be like the Incredible Hulk. Probably
Okay.
not the best analogy, but
Go with it. Go with it for the sake of the podcast.
that's right. Yeah. Level two kind of seems a little bit like not so intimidating at first. And then you start getting into the controls, and then it's almost like this thing just hulks up on you, freaks out, and becomes this big green monster that you're never going to defeat.
So what you're saying is that when you first look at level two, it's actually Bruce Banner, and you're like, oh, all right, cool. And then you look at the controls, and that's when the Hulk shows up.
That's right. There you go. I like it. I like it.
And level three.
Yeah. And then, gosh, level three would kind of be like Magneto. I mean, just, level three is like the hardest to defeat evil of the bad guys. It's not even really that it's terribly difficult, but like Magneto, you've got to have an army of evildoers on your side if you're gonna meet level three, because a lot of what level three is all about is having a fairly robust IT team that can handle all of the monitoring and management requirements. And Magneto doesn't do evil on his own very well. He is strong in himself, but he has a band of sidekicks and henchmen, if you will, who help him carry out tasks. And that is one of the bigger things that really stands out in level three is it's not you're not going to be level three in a one person company. It's basically impossible. And so I think similarly, you're not going to take on the X-Men unless you've got a pretty robust team of bad guys. So, not to say that level three is a bad guy or anything. It's just, if I'm just kind of
It's just the
on
final
the fly,
boss
that's right. That's right. The
in
final
a video
boss. That's
game.
right.
Yeah, it's the
That's
final
right.
boss. Wait, hey, we love our superheroes here at the Mission Compliance podcast. We said in the intro, we said we were going to do this CMMC hero style, so we had to end it with some heroes.
I love it.
And that wraps up another great episode of Mission Compliance. We hope our discussion today has provided you with valuable insights, practical strategies, and inspiration to navigate the ever-evolving world of defense. We'd like to thank Mike for joining us and talking about the very important topic of the new guidance on CMMC levels. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, always a pleasure, Roman, and glad to do it.
But the conversation doesn't end here. We encourage you to continue exploring these topics and connect with us via our social media channels. Share your thoughts, ask questions, and engage with fellow listeners using the hashtag Mission Compliance Podcast. If they haven't already, what should they do, Mike?
Well, they should like, subscribe, and definitely make sure you tell a friend.
And by liking and subscribing, it'll let you know when new episodes like this one are released. We'd also appreciate if you take a moment to rate and review the show. Your feedback helps us to continue to bring you thought-provoking episodes and high-quality content. We don't want to be like your Uber driver that constantly requests that you give them 5 stars, but it's been 114 episodes and we haven't said it once. So I'm going to go ahead and say it. Please give us 5 stars. Join us next time as we delve further into the dynamic world of defense, security, and industry innovation. Until then, take care, stay informed, and make compliance your mission. See you next time.
Thanks, everybody.